A lab in Lenexa was among the first in the country to get an okay from regulators for an easy-to-use COVID-19 saliva test. As Celia Yopis-Jepsen of the Kansas News Service reports, getting there took long nights, help from robots, and a steady supply of chocolate chip cookies.
Clinical Reference Laboratory is constantly receiving tubes of saliva by FedEx, by courier. There's even a drop box out front labeled Chiefs Kingdom. Fans who want to sit in suites at Arrowhead Stadium turn in their spit before each game. Inside the lab,
well, hello, I'm Jan Roll.
Stephen Wheeler.
Are people clad in masks, gloves, and lab coats.
My name is Paul Cisse.
Morning, noon, and night, they're ready to open and test packages that can carry the coronavirus that's killed 220,000 people nationally. Typically, they turn results in a day. CRL has run more than 150,000 tests so far. It does them for nursing homes and college athletes.
Dancing Jazz. With her partner Sasha, it's Justina Machado.
TV shows even send saliva halfway across the country for these fast results. But there's no one CRL has tested as many times as this guy.
My name is Bruce Dahlquist.
He works on the business side at CRL, and he helped get the lab to where it is by getting sick.
I'd been to Las Vegas, I'd been to Salt Lake, Columbus, Ohio, and Cincinnati.
Back in March, Bruce was traveling for work as the pandemic unfolded.
Part of the country was starting to shut down, so my trip got cut short.
He got home and started coughing. He got the deep nasal swab, and yep, it was COVID-19. Now, Bruce works with scientists. Above all, they wanted him to get well, but they also saw an opportunity. CRL was on a quest to make a different kind of test, because nasal swabs freak some people out. They also eat up gloves and masks, and the swabs were hard to come by anyway.
And we said, there's got to be a better way.
Heather Failing is one of CRL's lead scientists. Over the next several months, she and her team would end up hitting plenty of obstacles on the road to making an alternative. But Bruce's sickness helped them clear the first big obstacle by giving them a steady supply of samples. Every other day, he set his fluids out on his porch.
Urine, blood, saliva.
Heather came by, put them in a cooler, and went to the lab, and left him a package.
My deal with her was she had to bring me chocolate chip cookies, because I lost my sense of taste, right, and smell, except for chocolate. I could taste chocolate, which was great.
They did this for almost a month, and in that time, CRL found saliva worked really well, which was great because it's so easy for most people to spit into a tube. They can even seal it on their own, no medical workers needed, no swabs. The lab team experimented with different saliva preservatives and checked how that affected Bruce's samples, and they made an accidental discovery. He was foggy in the head and filled two saliva tubes on the same day.
And the morning sample came back as positive for the virus, but the evening sample was negative.
They figured out that eating food, brushing your teeth, those things interfered with getting a good sample. Bruce got well, but CRL still faced barriers. They needed lots more sick people to give them spit so they could prove their science to the Food and Drug Administration. But that was super hard. Hospitals didn't want them hanging around. Everyone was busy. CRL folks traveled far and wide, Dallas, Chicago, St. Louis.
And Bruce volunteered to fly out to Dodge City, Kansas. They chartered a plane.
Meatpacking plants there were fueling huge outbreaks.
So these people were working at the plant shoulder to shoulder, and then they'd go home and, you know, everybody in their family was getting it.
Meanwhile, the people at CRL ran an endless parade of experiments. Some worked 12, even 15-hour days, compiling hundreds of pages of test results for the FDA.
Yeah, and it was almost like time was irrelevant, you know, because you were just so absorbed in this and you had this goal and you're like, I know what I need to do.
If they couldn't convince the feds, then their idea of a saliva kit that people could use on their own, even in the comfort of their own homes, would fail. Every time they thought they had finished what the FDA needed, the agency had more questions. It all added up to another 2.5 months of long days showing their work. In that time, CRL began buying saliva tubes by the tens of thousands. It bought highly specialized robots that are critical to processing large volumes of samples. It was a strategic but expensive gamble.
And it makes you extremely nervous, like, oh, I just pray this pans out.
The lab couldn't risk delays. Summer had arrived. Kansas colleges wanted CRL to test returning students. The semester was fast approaching. The supplies rolled in, and the robots, which may sound like fun.
Yep, robots playing with spit.
But they're also a lot of work. People like Rob Gerback set to teaching them super precise movements and positions. The robots had to get it just right, within 0.1 millimeter, or they could screw up while handling saliva from scores and even hundreds of people at once. CRL has nearly 20 of these robots in big glass cases.
Probably 4 feet wide by 7 feet tall by 3 feet deep.
Some always work smoothly. Others can be finicky and frustrating. So the lab workers gave them names. Allison Johnson and Marianne Michaels explain.
This one was Norm because he never really had, as we like to say, a personality. He's pretty normal and he just gets it done. This one over here is Elon, named after Elon Musk. Originally he was like doing really well and now he kind of just acts like he's better than everyone else.
The robots clean the saliva.
It's dumping the stuff that it no longer needs.
And isolate the genetic material you need to spot the virus. Finally, one night in late July, Heather Phelan got another message from her FDA contact.
Oh, I'm so sorry to bother you late, but I just needed to touch base. I'm like, oh my goodness, what do they need now?
But this was good news. The green light.
And it was just like pure elation. The next day at work was, I think, one of my favorite days ever at CRL. The pure joy on people's faces.
The lab threw an outdoor party.
Fill up my cup. Mazel tov.
Heather still remembers listening to the Black Eyed Peas. The long nights of work, the gamble on expensive equipment, it all paid off. Rebecca Hankhouse helped write the FDA application.
Just the weight lifted off our shoulders. It was very exciting. I never experienced anything like that in lab work.
She and her colleagues, like Valerie Stone, feel like they're playing a role in a historic scientific battle.
I feel like I've been preparing my entire life for this pandemic.
She's a senior lab manager.
I went into molecular 16, 17 years ago, knowing that eventually molecular was going to save the future, right? And we're finally seeing it come to fruition. It's amazing.
For the Kansas News Service, I'm Celia Yopis-Jepson in Lenexa.
The Kansas News Service is a collaboration of KCUR, KMUW, Kansas Public Radio, and High Plains Public Radio. It reports on health, the many factors that influence it, and their connection to public policy.